This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Has anyone ever told you that you are loved? That's the message of Christmas. That's why Jesus Christ came, to let you know that God truly loves you, and that's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you that we have that message of love that comes from your holy word. We sense that love in a real way as we walk with you from day to day, but especially we thank you that that love gets real meaning when it comes into our soul and we know that we are redeemed eternally because of your love for the whole world. Grant that we may bring that message clearly to those who are round about us and our families and among our friends, and that this may be a joyful season of spiritual awakening as we celebrate the birth of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends in Christ, during this Advent season, we have been dealing with a general theme, why did Jesus Christ come? And it has been my purpose to let Jesus answer that question. For example, 2 weeks ago, he told us, I came to build a kingdom. Last week, he talked about he came to bring us hope. And today, he comes to reveal that we are loved. So that's where we'll center our thoughts today, around that marvelous passage that God has given to us and that many people know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We live in a rather cruel society at times, and in the cruelness, people can say things to us that really hurt, sometimes can stop us in our tracks and wonder what it's all about. That can come in very, very close relationships. For example, I've heard this over and over, and I'm sure you have too, that a mother or father in their weakness has said to a child when they were disgusted with him or her, why can't you be like your brother is? Now just imagine what that does to the child, that he is not measuring up to what they expect, and the one who is supposed to be the perfect one is his brother or sister. That's hard talk. That's hard to take. And it's probably something that never really goes out of that person's mind. I say that because I had a little experience along those lines when I was a high school student. I went to my teacher one day to tell her that I needed some help in a math course that I was taking. She graciously at first helped me a great deal. But then finally she said to me at the end, why do you take this advanced course in algebra? And I said, well, I'm going to go to college, and I assume that you're supposed to fulfill this requirement to get into college. And then she looked at me and she said, do you know, you really are not college material. Now, I believe that teacher knew better, for the school was not that large. They had some idea of what the students were doing in other subjects, and I was doing very well. No problems whatsoever. Now, I realized that I was not going to be the valedictorian of that class, and I realized that I probably was not going to go to Harvard. I couldn't pay, even if I could get admitted, to go to such a prestigious school. But wasn't there a college somewhere that I could attend and try to prepare for life that was before me? I lived with that for many, many weeks. I am not college material. She was an excellent teacher, and I'm sure that at the end of the day, she was just tired, and here was another student who came in to prolong her day. So I have no ill will towards the lady, except I think she dealt with me in a very unwise way. I lived with this hurt until sometime later. I was attending a Bible camp. And as we were walking down to the lake one day, one of the teachers said to me, have you ever considered the ministry? Entirely different conversation. And I said to him, no, not hardly. I have been told that I am not college material. And he simply laughed and he said, well, I don't know whoever taught you that, but get it out of your head. There are a lot of colleges that you can go to, and I'm sure they'll be glad to have you, and they would be very beneficial for you to attend. He said, I know of a small Christian college out in Nebraska that I would like to suggest to you that you write and get some materials, and perhaps you can one day go there. And I did just that, and I landed up at Dana College in Blair, Nebraska, a college of the church, a Christian college at the day, is very, very dynamic in its Christian faith many of the years ago. Now I was accepted. This was a good statement to make to me, and I will forever be grateful for that young pastor at that Bible camp who told me, look, there is a place for you in this world, and there is a college that will take you. I think we have to be very, very careful, because after we think of what's happened to us, are we not sometimes also the cause of other people being hurt because of something that might come from our lips? Let me illustrate to you. Some years ago, I had a funeral. And after the funeral, one of the people who was at that service came to me and said, I don't imagine you recognize me, do you? And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, we were from such and such a family who seldom, practically never came to church. I once in a while would come to Sunday school with a neighbor or something like that. We were baptized here in this church. But he said, I was out of the church, and it wasn't long before I was in trouble and I was sent away to prison. But while I was in prison, I was converted. I met Jesus Christ. And there I gained a whole new look at life and a whole new understanding of who I was, that I am loved by God. He said that when I came back to my hometown, naturally I went to the church where I had been baptized and where I had attended a few times in my early life, but I soon learned that that was not the church for me. And so I decided that I would look around, and I came to a church called The Vineyard. It was less formal, and it just seemed like this is where I belong. And so there I learned again and again of God's love for me. I have become immersed in that, and I'm a brand new person. Well, obviously, I had a heavy heart to think that he had not got that in the church that I was still serving. I was preaching. It was not another pastor. It was Homer Larson. Where had I failed him? Where had I missed him? Well, that was not for me to say at that time, but I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said to him, Jesus Christ is much larger than any congregation. In some way, we did not do what we should have done for you. But he had another congregation. It's the same church. And that congregation delivered to you the message in such a way that you could comprehend that God really did love you. So stay right there and be faithful and serve him throughout your days on this earth. You are loved. Through the years, I have learned that that means a great deal as far as our own self-image is concerned. For if we know that we are loved by God, then does it matter so much what other people say? If we know, for example, that God can use us, and that in God's eyes we are precious and important, and he has got a place for us, when we can imagine and understand that he has said, you are my ambassadors, and I'm going to make my appeal to this world through you. Isn't that the highest calling that anybody could ever hope to get? In some ways, it has made me almost fearless as far as other people are concerned. Through the years, I have respected people who have risen to prestigious places in society, but I have never felt very uncomfortable to them, for in the back of my mind and the bottom of my soul, I have felt that in God's eyes, I am precious too. I think I perhaps have told this illustration before. Something like this doesn't happen very often, and so you have a tendency to repeat it. Many years ago, It was when President Reagan was being nominated for the second time. I was invited to come to the Republican convention in Dallas, Texas, and deliver the prayer in the morning. So I accepted that, and my wife and I went on to Dallas, and here we were treated royally. Just before I was to go into the auditorium and deliver this prayer, we had been put into a holding room, so to speak. And what a holding room it really was. I looked around, and here was the flowers on the wall, candies and fruit and everything else that you could ever hope for. Then finally the door opened. And as the door opened, who walked in but former President Gerald Ford. I knew him. I recognized his face right away. And he expressed his pardon and said, "I'm sorry if I'm interfering." And I said, "Not at all, Mr. President. Come right in." And we talked about the room just superficially. And he said, "Well, this is the president's room. President Reagan will be here tonight. And we are permitted to have it during the day if we have no other place to go." So I came in here, but who are you? And I told him. And I was going upstairs and deliver the prayer in just a short time. And he was a delightful person. I wouldn't say now that we had a long half-hour talk, but imagine he spent 5 minutes or so with us, and it was a great experience. I realized that I was standing in the presence of a man who had had a very prestigious position in the world society. I knew that he was a man who was hated by some, but honored and respected by many others. I knew that he was a man who had announced the pardon of Richard Nixon after he had been impeached from the office of president. And I have later learned that he said at that time, "I do believe with all my heart and mind and spirit that I, not as president, but as a humble servant of God, will receive justice without mercy if I fail to show mercy now to somebody else." Billy Graham has said that Gerald Ford was a very committed Christian, had a deep faith. That being the case, he and I had a common Savior. We have a common Father. And he has said to each one of us, "You are precious and important. I have something for you to do." Gerald Ford was given the opportunity to serve as the president of this land. I was given the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ Sunday after Sunday. Was it so much different? God has loved us both. And that's what I'm trying to talk to you about today. God has loved us in such a way, friend, that it does affect our whole being whenever we begin to comprehend it. The love for the world, or the love of the world, is pretty insignificant compared with that love that has come to us from God. The financial statements, the academic degrees, the social and political status, the age, the race, the accomplishments are not so much involved, important as they are. What he has done is come into this world, and on the cross at Calvary, he has given his Son to be our Savior. Then he has said that whoever believes in him will never perish, but will have eternal life. For God never sent his Son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world might be saved through him. Just take a look at that as we once more center our thoughts around the core of that gospel, which is really another Christmas message. "Why did I come?" you ask. And Jesus says, "I came to reveal to you God's love, a love that never ends, a love that was willing to give his only begotten Son." Just stop and think of it. We think a lot about giving at Christmas time. But God gave his Son. Why? "I gave my Son to die on a cross the cruelest death, in order that our sins might be taken away, and that we might be restored into fellowship with God. And then he says to us very clearly, if you trust me, and if I am your Savior, then you are a part of the kingdom of God, both now and forevermore. You have to believe in me, but I'll build that faith in your heart. You have to receive me, and I'll give you a peace that you never had before. You have to walk with me, and I'll teach you how important you are in life. So important that you can talk with presidents and other people who are very prestigious in their positions. This is why I have come. I am not speaking to any ordinary person. In God's eyes, you are my redeemed. You are worth so much that I've come to be born, not only in a manger, but to die on a cross, that you might be mine forever. Do we understand that? Because that's the message of Christmas, but it is also the message that God has sent us out into the world to proclaim to the many hundreds and thousands of people. I think that we fail there, of course, like in every other place. But last week or a few weeks ago in our church, we had Mission Sunday. I was truly impressed when I saw through that marvelous program that had been put together by people in our church where we are. Here were representatives, actually physical representatives, from the Cameroons in Africa. Lutheran Bible translators, and they had a young couple there who had just gone finished their project in a part of the Cameroons. When they got to this little town in the Cameroons, they had to create an alphabet for the Vute, V-U-T-E, language, and began translating the New Testament into the Vute language. On December 2nd of this year, this New Testament will be placed in the hands of the Vute people, and they will be able to hear and to read. They'll be able to read, many of them, the gospel of Christmas. The Christmas that tells them, you people there in the Cameroons are precious and important to God. It is for you that he died. And I walked around and saw the other displays and saw the many countries that were represented there. And I thought, my congregation, the congregation that I serve and the one that I now worship in, has that great task and great opportunity to tell the story of Jesus Christ around this old world, and they are doing it at least in part. And I thank God for them, and I pray them strength in the future as they continue this work. It is why he came. He came to let us know that we are loved. And if there are hard remarks that come our way, then perhaps we can take care of them a little bit better, just to know that along with the hard remarks comes that gracious and loving message from our Savior, I love you. You are mine, both now and for all eternity. Amen. Warm our hearts, Heavenly Father, with this great message of salvation. Take that which is so common in our midst for at least many of us, that Jesus has been born, and help us to understand what that really means, that God has come to this earth in the person of a child. We pray your blessings to rest upon those who are sick, sorrowing, lying on their beds, some of them not too sure where they are. Grant, O God, that somehow this message again that has been in their hearts may break through and cause them to understand how precious they are. Pray for those, O God, who have made some costly mistakes, and they're paying their due to the state as they sit in our prisons. But behind those bars, cause them to see the face of a Savior who, looking into their lives, cries out, I love you, and I have set you free to be mine both now and forevermore. And for us, O God, who are in busy America, running from store to store and from party to party, please, O God, give us a discipline to take time out just to be silent and to hear you say, I came to let you know that you are loved. In your precious name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As you prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord, it is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy. During this busy Advent season, let us take time to give thanks for the greatest gift of all, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the financial gifts of our listeners. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusader sermons are available in our sermon library. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a generous gift will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.